Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
What's up, Peter Nation? Trevor Sikma here, all by my lonesome this week. The two older guys have the week off this week, so it's just me. And instead of listening or having you guys listen to me talk about Buccaneer football for an hour, which Lord knows nobody wants to do, what we've decided to do this week is to give you an awesome recap of some of the best of moments that we've had on the podcast. We've been doing this thing for 15 episodes, we've been going 3 months strong on it. We've had a lot of awesome Bucs analysis, but some even better stories, some one-of-a-kind stories that you truly can't hear anywhere else other than this Peter Nation podcast. And man, some of these stories have made me laugh so hard. I've gone back and listened to them a bunch of times. Most of the time when I hear these stories, I'm hearing them for the first time with you guys. So a lot of the reactions and laughs that you hear from us are pretty natural from us getting to hear it from the first time. But really enjoyed you guys' feedback on everything we're doing. It's been a blast being able to do the podcast with these guys. And, you know, just starting out in the media, part of the thing that you have to learn is you're going to get some criticism for a lot of your work. And even though you guys have been awesome reading my Cover 3 stuff and I've been so supportive and talkative in that, and that's been a lot of fun for me, you don't always get positive feedback on certain things. Sometimes you got to roll with the punches and get over it and be able to handle a little criticism. And my first story that I want to go back to is in one of the first podcasts that we did where I learned just how Mark Cook, my editor-in-chief, reacted to the criticism that he and Scott got when he was first brought on. Take a listen.
All right. Hate. We all get a little hate from time to time. Yeah. Scott, listen, let's just be honest. You're completely biased. You only put K-State players in your mocks. And
I'm a homer.
And you're a homer, and your bias is affecting your job.
Mark, listen, you know me. I've got thick skin. I've got way thicker skin than a lot of people in this town.
True.
Okay? And you're amazed. When you first started, you were amazed at how thick my skin was.
I wanted to fight people. I challenged people on our message boards to meet me in the parking lot to
True
fight
story.
People.
When Mark started writing for PeterReports.com several years ago, he would freak the crap out about, you know, like any negativity.
Right.
Like, oh my God. I remember there's one time I wrote a controversial SRS Fab 5 and you call me up and you're like, dude, have you seen the comments? Have you seen the message board? Oh my God. I just want to go in and fight people for you, you know? And I'm just like, they're reading it. I mean, like, that's the whole point is, like, for them to read it. If they're not reading it, then there's a problem. But if people disagree, then they're right.
That's actually why I'm here. So if at any point, you know, we're at one buck or we're at a game covering it, and Mark's like, all right, I gotta go meet this guy in the parking lot. Like, I can take over. Like, I can start doing the recap.
No, you know? I did so. One time. One guy before, it was before a Saints game, and he called me a hack writer. It had something to do with the Josh Freeman controversy that last year. And I literally typed on the board, that hack writer will be in lot 6 at 10:15. Yeah. You can meet me there. And Scott's like, called me, and he's like, no, you have to take that down. That's a true, I swear, that's a true story.
Yeah.
And by the way, I waited at my car for a long time in case he saw it. No one showed up.
That is where the redhead, like, you know.
The German redhead.
The German redhead needs to chill a little bit. Yeah. You know, that's where it gets the best of you right there.
I just want to let you know that I am, the door readers, I'm officially, do have a prescription for Xanax. I don't take it, but I do have it for those moments.
Dude, what if it was like the Big Show?
I
like you just like go I would out of the park.
I have no sense at all.
Yeah, the Undertaker just starts slow walking like from the other
hey,
side.
Hey, Mark, I heard you had a problem with me.
Let me tell you something. The Undertaker would have won, but he would have known that he was wrestling around. I would have got a couple shots in, I can assure you.
When Scott did that voice, I just about lost it. I don't know how I was able to keep my composure with the mic on. I might have even muted the mic for that because I might have been laughing so hard. But when he did that voice, I was pretty much done there. So that was the story that really probably kicked it off, where we told that story. We thought it was great. You guys loved hearing it. And we thought, hey, you know what? We're in the media. People love the behind-the-scenes stuff. We should give them more of that more often. You know, tell the stories that nobody gets to hear. We all get to see the games. We all get to read all kinds of practice updates, but it's those kind of stories that really make podcasts fun, getting to hear the behind-the-scenes. So a cool behind-the-scenes story is when Scott told two Raheem Morris stories And, you know, Raheem Morris, much more of a younger coach, much different than anything that really Bucks fans have seen in a long time, being kind of like an old regime, an old school kind of franchise. Then Raheem Morris comes in here and gets to be the head coach. So I'm going to share both of them, but here's the first one. The Raheem Morris called Raheem Christmas.
The Raheem story is this. I learned a very painful lesson as a reporter. You always have to have your phone with you at all times, with you, okay? I broke the Raheem Morris story going to Kansas State when he was supposed to be the replacement for Mike Tomlin. He was Mike Tomlin's assistant defensive backs coach. When Tomlin went to become the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, this is when John Gruden was the head coach, Raheem got the defensive coordinator job under Ron Prince the first year after Bill Snyder had left. So Raheem saw the opportunity to be a college defensive coordinator, and he went ahead and took it. I broke that story, okay? I mean, go figure. Kansas State, I'm going to break the story. I also broke the story about him coming back a year later when Ron Prince was a bit of a nut job in a head case at Kansas State. And thankfully, he replaced Greg Burns, who was a horrible defensive backs coach for the Buccaneers for 1 year. Horrible, okay? And where did Greg Burns end up going? To Kansas State to replace Raheem, all right? So the Bucks defense, the secondary,
you think
gets
so good. You think they're just like
instantly better?
Who do we get? I don't know. Who got fired for the guy who just replaced him? Call that guy.
How bad was Greg Burns? Well, Greg Burns made Jermaine Phillips just about want to quit football. All right. I mean, Jermaine Phillips went from being a player on the rise at safety to a horrible player under Greg Burns, and then back to a damn good player under Raheem. And Raheem engineered a big time turnaround. Well, Greg Burns goes to Kansas State. And against Nebraska, of all teams, they threw for over 500 yards and 7 passing touchdowns on Kansas State's defense, their secondary. That's how awful of a coach Greg Burns was, okay?
I don't get how you're that bad.
He was horrific, like, all right?
Like even
he was
just
bad in Tampa,
like
he was
even
bad
just
at Kansas State.
Like saying to somebody who's talented, you'd be like, cover him.
Right. And Raheem was good at Kansas State.
I know playing quarterback is a lot more difficult than that, but like, how are you that bad?
I went out there to see Raheem. Raheem was like saying, man, you got to come out here and see me because I'm at your alma mater now. We need to come out. Okay, fine. He's like, I got free tickets for you. Come on out. Fine. So I went out there in November. It was senior day. The Bucks were playing on Monday night against the Panthers that year. And Josh Freeman was the true freshman quarterback. And number 4, Texas, came in, and this was a primetime game on ABC, a nationally televised game, because the anticipation was Texas was going to win, beat Kansas State, they're heavily favored, and go on to be in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman rose up, threw 3 touchdowns, rushed for another. Raheem's defense, although it gave up 42 points to the Longhorns, they knocked Colt McCoy out in the first series.
Mm-hmm.
The backup came in. He was in Tampa for a cup of coffee. Who was that? He ended up going to Ole Miss afterwards. I can't remember his name now, but he played like a minute in the league. He was highly touted as a potential first-round quarterback, and he never ended up being that. But I think K-State's defense under Raheem forced 4 or 5 takeaways. K-State won the game 45-42, knocked Texas out of the national championship picture. Okay, so Raheem comes back to Tampa the next year, and there was all this talk Monty Kiffin was going to go to Tennessee, right? And Raheem was going to be his replacement. He was going to be the heir apparent and the defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay under John Gruden in 2009, okay? So I was texting Raheem, and I'm like, listen, you know this is going to happen. I know this is going to happen. Give me the heads up when this happens. And he's like, okay, fine. So I think I pulled rank. I didn't go to One Buck in Your Place for Christmas that day because, you know, I've done that before. And I don't know if it was you or Jim Flynn. I was Jim Flynn back then, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jim went to One Buck in Your Place on Christmas because they had a Christmas practice. It was during the week. And that's when John Gruden said, hey, you know, I got a little Christmas present for Raheem Morris. I've named him the defensive coordinator next year of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, all the writers were pissed because it's like, dude, it's Christmas. Now we've got to write this story. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know? So everyone was pissed. And I'm looking at the website, you know, and I'm seeing all this news about Raheem Morris being the defensive coordinator. I'm like, son of a bitch, like, this is happening on Christmas? Are you kidding me? You know, and here I'm like opening presents with my family. And I went to check the website, and I'm like, I can't believe Raheem didn't even tell me. And I like was feeling my pockets, and my phone wasn't in it. And my phone was right next to my computer, which was in the office all morning long, sitting by itself. Mm. And Raheem Morris at about 8:30 that morning texted me, "Merry Christmas, Scott. I want to let you know I'm going to be the defensive coordinator."
Oh, my gosh.
And I would have had that probably 4 to 5 hours beforehand.
Wow.
If I had checked my phone. So now I take my phone, put it like in a little plastic Ziploc baggie, take it into the shower with me. It goes everywhere I go. Swear to God, just because of that instance.
You know, they make waterproof phones, right?
I don't have one, no, but okay. I'm interested in getting one.
That's actually a good story.
So looking back on it, the moral of that story actually is, if you ever hear Mark or Scott tell me to get off my phone, even when I'm on the podcast, just remind him of that. Like, that's the moral of that story right there. That, who knows, Raheem Morris could get hired out of nowhere and we could miss it if I wasn't on my phone. So that's the justification I have there for always being on my phone. But that was only one of two great Raheem Morris stories. And if you ask me, well, you can hear my reaction at the end when Scott tells this second story. I actually thought this one was even better because it was so out of left field. Just take a listen. You got to listen to it if you missed it.
Wow. Nice guy. We love Cody Grimm.
Oh, I'm sure.
That was a bit of a buzzkill. You said Cody Grimm, and it just kind of...
Yeah,
buzzkill. The air went out the whole podcast.
Well, we've got a few more minutes left in the podcast. In fact,
I get into the Raheem story if we have time.
Let's hold on. I'm just kidding. This one, let's see how good this one is. Now, this is Raheem Morris. We've turned into the Raheem... We're going to change the name to Raheem Nation. Podcast, computerreport.com.
Just tell a Raheem story.
Is that the only coach you have stories of?
No, granted, I've got plenty.
Listen, but... I'll be honest with you. I was only here 1 year, and I've got several Raheem stories, but go ahead.
Well, this one was funny because you mentioned the Falcons with Robert McClain. The Buccaneers had just beaten somebody, and I forget what year it was. I want to say it was 2012. No, it was the year. It was his final year. So it was 2011. It's exactly what it was. 2011. They had just beaten a team as the start of the season, and I think they started off 3-1 that year, 4-1, something like that, and then it just collapsed. And
4-2. They were 4-2.
Okay,
probably the Saints game. They won a big Saints game.
Yes, and the Falcons were next.
Right,
and Raheem Morris was shown on Buccaneers.com. They put the post-game video up of him in the locker room congratulating his team and saying something like, hey, we're going to go eat some dirty birds next week. We're going to go have dirty bird for dinner. Something like that. Okay, and it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't – he didn't even use profanity. Wasn't really putting the Falcons down. Just kind of saying something like that. Well, Buccaneers.com puts it up. And this was after a home game, and I came back – and I'm chilling at my apartment at the time, and I get a phone call. I look down at my phone, and it was Raheem. I was like, oh, I got a phone call from Raheem. Like, what's up? So I said, hey. And he's like, Scott, hey, man, it's Raheem. Just wanted to talk to you about that video, man. Like, what the? And he started painting in a tapestry of profanities.
Raheem?
Raheem, yes.
Surprising?
Yes. And what he was saying was, what the F, man? Why would you effing put that video up about the Falcons, and why would you do that? You need to check with me before you effing do stuff like that again. And it was just going off and getting madder and madder as the seconds elapsed. And I was trying to get a word in edgewise, and Raheem, I don't know what video you're talking about. And he's like, Scott Reynolds? And I said, yeah. He's like, oh, I thought this was Scott Smith.
Oh, my.
Hey, Scott Smith from Buccaneers.com. And then he immediately went from, like, full-on rage to, oh, my bad, man. He's like, I'll see you tomorrow at $1, just completely hung up.
That's incredible.
If there's a phone conversation you wish you had taped somehow, that would have been the one. God.
Now, I've had a handful of phone conversations that I wish just simultaneously recorded, if that technology existed, which I'm sure it does, but it's not on common phones. But man, I would have loved for that conversation to have been recorded. It's just, even if it was never even to be made public, sorry guys, but I would have loved to have just been able to hear it myself, just to hear that other side of Raheem Morris, who, like Scott said, is the end, is such a happy dude, and then kind of has that other side when he needs to. But hey, middle of the podcast now, and what would be a Pewter Nation podcast without hearing from our friends from the International Diamond Center? You know, it wouldn't be a podcast at all. So listen in.
International Diamond Center brings back our most popular offer ever. 5 years, zero interest financing with no money down on any purchase.
This is incredible. Now through June 18th, get the unbeatable low price IDC is known for and spread your payments out over five whole years without paying a dime in interest.
How about a $6,000 Tacori Viraggio or Henry Dossi engagement ring? You pay only $100 a month.
Or get her a pair of 2-carat diamond stud earrings and pay just $115 a month. But you gotta hurry. This fabulous offer ends June 18th.
At International Diamond Center.
Shout out to IDC for all they do, supporting this podcast, letting us get to do what we do. And hey, you know, shout out to you guys too, the readers, the listeners, for supporting us, getting to put on a pretty good and a pretty unique podcast, I would say. So even though we're the only three fools that get to talk on the microphones consistently every week, it's definitely a collective effort. You guys help us not only by reading, but also joining in the conversation, giving us tons of ideas and things to talk about. So you guys are great there. Now, a little theme, it seems to be a weekly theme that happens on the Pewter Nation podcast, is that if you didn't know, I am a University of Florida grad, so I am a Gator, and Mark is a diehard Seminoles fan. So as you would imagine, we butt heads a little bit on certain things, you know, wins and losses, more losses for me at this point for my team. But, you know, we're getting on the swing of things. The tides will turn. I have faith in that. But, you know, the rivalry is so thick in college football and college sports that it even goes to the things that we drink.
Because there was probably a 12, 14 mile an hour crosswind, you know, moving there from, was from wind, west
yeah,
to east.
And he was not phased.
You know, and those are small goalposts. Not in the and least. Sometimes, and I don't know how they were today, I didn't pay attention to them. This is what's even stranger, which I think is brilliant, what the
Stranger
Buccaneers
Things?
Have done. I've never seen that program.
It's pretty good. You should watch it.
And I don't believe in...
You got Netflix?
No, I don't know what that means.
You want my password?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I do have Netflix, it's and I may
Gators.
Watch that. You just told
everybody. He physically
everybody.
Can't type that in.
Right, yeah, I'll never.
He can't.
I'll
His
never
hands
watch.
Won't go there.
No.
He'll get to go, and then he can't put in the
right.
G.
He's drinking Gatorade right now.
But some
he is.
What?
Yeah.
You drinking
no,
Gatorade?
Excuse me.
You
will
took
you
the
describe
label
this?
Off. He took the
Seminole,
label off.
So there's Gatorade. No proof this is Gatorade.
So is it piss?
It's Seminole Fire Water. That's why I was looking for a Sharpie
it's
earlier.
It's all sports.
I was going to write that on there.
Oh,
it's 10K.
No, it's Gatorade.
That was
it's lemon
version.
Lime Gatorade.
Yeah. No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is. I
Which
saw
is the best kind
the
of
label.
Gatorade, by the way.
Of course. It's the classic.
Thank you. Thank
yes.
you.
No doubt about it.
I had an argument with a bunch of people on Twitter
no,
about this.
Citrus no, Citrus Cooler is by far the best. My
See,
Jordan
this is
flavor.
Like,
no.
these are the psychopaths
no.
that were in my
classic
mention telling me that there's a better flavor than lemon lime. That's just not true.
Listen, you know why this is not? I like it. But you have to admit, you remember, you grew up around the time I did in the 70s. Remember when you got a stomach bug and you threw up, your
yes.
mother would get you Gatorade.
Correct.
Well, there was two flavors back then. The green one and the fruit punch, or maybe it was
yes.
orange.
Fruit punch so isn't bad.
Still, to this day, 35 years later, when I drink this, I yeah. feel like it reminds me of
you
that
just
stomach
threw
bug.
Up.
No, Elvis had a great thing because he loved Gatorade on stage, but he would always say when they would hand him a bottle, he would say, it looks like it's already been drank. Meaning it's been filtered through the body again, because it does look like a little bit
That's
of
That's how they
there.
Keep costs down, man.
I guess, probably.
You got to do it somehow.
I heard
to
that
cut
it was
business.
Actually originally developed in hey, Florida
listen
State.
Listen to this
and
damn podcast
Gators,
for Bucks News.
And
not
the Gators
hear about
stole
sports
the patent.
Drinks.
I wouldn't say steal. I would say that they modified it and also came up with a non-terrible name for it, like Seminole Firewater.
That's brilliant.
So,
that's what it should have been.
Anyways.
I will get a Sharpie and write on the rest of my bottle Seminole
you
Firewater.
You better,
or
I'm just going to call you out.
But it's all in good fun, right? Just a reminder, Mark, Florida just won the national championship in baseball. But anyways, the last story that we have to get to in this recap is, you know, I had to save this one for last. It's Scott's Chuck Berry story. Now, this is a story that we waited weeks and weeks and weeks for, and a little bit of a practical joke to the listeners, but man, when Scott finally dropped this story, it did not disappoint. I've got to say, Scott's probably the only person in the world who could possibly tell this story. Listen in.
What? Chuck Berry story just came back to me.
Chuck Barris or Barry? Which
Chuck
one?
Chuck Berry.
I've got a Chuck Berry story I'm going to tell you guys one day, by the way.
We're talking about Charles Edward Anderson Berry, okay, from St. Louis, Missouri. Totally just triggered. Okay.
Rest in peace, Chuck.
Yes. Okay. So I was dating this girl when I was at Kansas State.
This better be good.
Chuck Berry's daughter?
No, it wasn't Chuck Berry's daughter.
She would have been like 48 at the time, but go ahead.
And she was from St. Louis. I met her at Kansas State. She came up for the K-State KU football game, and we had like a little long-distance romance down I-70 for, you know, maybe a month or so. And I went to St. Louis to visit her for this
weekend.
Which
Motel 6 did you guys meet at the halfway mark?
We didn't, no.
Okay,
I drove to St. Louis, four-hour drive.
Wow.
Actually, 6 hours from Kansas State, 4 hours from Kansas
what
City.
What you're saying is there wasn't a lot of hot chicks at Kansas State. So
no,
you
I'm just saying this
hours.
Girl was worth driving.
Wow.
For a month or so. So she actually worked at Chuck Berry's lawyer's office. She was like a legal secretary, like uh-huh. a legal aide, something. This is way back in the day. And so I had to go pick her up from her work because I was driving on a Friday. And I had no idea she worked for the lawyer, the law firm for Chuck Berry, whatever. And so I go in there and meet her. And she's like, do you know who Chuck Berry is? I said, yeah. And she said, well, we represent him. And I said, oh, that's cool, because he's from St. Louis, and I guess this was in Lake Charles, or St. Charles, Missouri. And she's like, you want to see something crazy? Sure. And she takes me back to this vault.
He had women locked in the vault.
No, he didn't have women locked in the vault.
Jesus, man.
Well, he's kind of a perv. Go ahead.
He has, now you know what a safe deposit box is, right? It's a long, mm-hmm. like,
never heard of it.
Long, like, slender thing that you find at the bank, so you can put, you know,
valuables
and papers, important papers and stuff. Okay.
I should put it under my mattress.
Chuck Berry. I walked into this vault. There is row after row after row with drawer after drawer after drawer of Polaroid pictures of Chuck Berry with every woman he has slept with. Okay. And in the pictures.
Like immediately after? Like
yes.
Like they're just
or before.
First of all, do you know what a Polaroid camera is, by
I
the
do.
Way? Okay,
I
just
do.
Wondering. You're kind of young.
And only because of
now
Instagram.
Listen, these are not sex pictures. These are pictures of him and the lucky lady of the night standing side by side, completely naked. but...
Oh,
but
that's not a good
no.
Even in the 60s and 70s? Did we see Chuck Berry's?
This is like
old school?
Prime time Chuck Berry.
Okay,
this is like back when he was, you know,
yeah.
with the ding-a-ling and all that stuff
literally
back in the day.
Literally the ding-a-ling,
yeah.
yes.
So,
how was the ding-a-ling? Never mind, go ahead.
I'm just saying. Chuck Berry, there were lots of reasons, I guess, for women to like Chuck Berry. Music was one of them.
Wow.
Let's just leave it
okay.
at that. Okay.
So what you're saying is he played another instrument as well.
He might let the ladies play that instrument. But I'm just saying, it's like this guy, and I've heard like stories, you know, I'm a huge Kiss fan. Gene Simmons, I've been with hundreds of thousands of women.
I'm trying to forget that.
Wilt
yes.
Chamberlain, you know, and
right.
the million women's he's
Elvis
banged
Presley.
In his life. Elvis Presley, exactly.
Mark Group.
You can put Chuck Berry in that conversation is all I'm saying, okay?
Damn.
I mean, it was drawer after drawer. We're talking floor to the ceiling high of nothing but safe deposit boxes, jam-packed. I mean, like, you couldn't fit another Polaroid.
You know, we're laughing about
this.
Who's taking
this
the pictures?
This might be the smartest move ever.
Without a doubt.
Because
without a doubt,
you can't get accused of doing anything inappropriate, which he was
yep.
at one point.
Yeah.
Arrested, spent some time in jail. For transporting a minor over state lines or something like that back in the 50s or 60s, something like that. So that's genius.
It is. Because he and, again, the lucky lady of the evening were standing there buck naked, smiling.
Who's taking these pictures?
That is true.
Manager, roadie, I don't know. You know, I don't know that they had the timers back then
no,
on the Polaroid
there's
cameras.
No way.
Were they all cropped properly, though? I mean, we saw the full effect.
They're Polaroids.
Yeah.
I'm sure Chuck said, get on with the picture, please. You know, I got some business to take care of
here. I wonder if it was
here.
Pre or post.
I don't know.
You should have paid more attention to the pictures. But anyway,
I was.
That's a genius move. I'm going to start doing
how
it.
How many
I would have one
how
picture.
Many people do you think have seen those pictures in the world?
Well, not many.
Everybody that
dated this girl.
And honestly,
how many?
That's the moral of the story. Is I got to. I actually, you can like this can be a Snopes thing to check out. You
yeah.
know? This can be an urban legend. No, I'm here to say it's real. I've seen a handful of the thousands of pictures.
How would you like to be at his probate when they're announcing what everybody gets and all the families around and little Billy, you're going to get $10,000 from Chuck, and Mary, you're going to get $5,000 in college scholarship, and you're going to get
of Uncle Chuck's
exploits. Larry, you're going to get all the Polaroids of Uncle Chuck's Wang. Hang out with your Wang out. That's what Chuck Berry wanted me to tell you. Yeah. Congratulations.
More serious yeah. money, though.
You know what? They would be. I would
serious
like that more
money.
Than anything, because you could eBay,
yes.
though.
Yes.
I don't think eBay would let you sell them, but you could certainly sell those. You could probably get $100 a Polaroid, maybe more, especially if there's some famous women in there.
I'm just saying Chuck had a thing for white women who were blonde. That was like, it seemed to me in my small sample size that I was looking at that
white blondes.
That was.
Well, he's not making a big mistake. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Wow. Just. Wow. I don't even know what else you say to that. That's that had to be the finisher. That had to be the finale for our recap. So, like I said at the very beginning, guys, 15 episodes in, and we are just getting started. Thank you so much for the support, overwhelming support that you guys have given us over these last 3 months producing these podcasts. And let me tell you, we're going to be doing some awesome stuff during the season, during training camp. We're going to be having other beat reporters on, you know, some national media members, getting some guests from all over. Who knows what it's going to be on this podcast. We're going to open up to a lot of things. So, like I said, just getting started here. Thanks for being a part of the kickstart with us, being a part of history, the first Pewter Nation podcast. So you guys are part of it. You guys are what started this, and we really thank you for it. So that is all for this week. I'm Trevor Sikkema, the man bun himself, saying that we will be back next week with a brand new episode of the Pewter Nation podcast. More Buck stuff, more stories. But until then, I leave you with a treat. Oh, yes, it's finally here. The karaoke of Mr. Mark Cook and hype man Scott Reynolds. See you next week, everybody. All right, can you actually talk in your mic?
I'm going to actually talk into the mic.
Hello, hello.
Can you keep talking?
Hello.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've
come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains.
Yeah, boy!
Within the sound of silence. It's one of the few songs I can play on guitar. Remind me, next time we play at the house, I'm going to grab the pink guitar, and that's going to be our intro song, just me playing that.
No, that little clip that I just recorded is going to be the intro.